Christ Community Church of Plainfield, I'm so glad to be with you today. This is my second time to share with you. I was here way back in January on one of the coldest days of the year, and here I am again. And it's a pleasure, it's an honor to be able to share with you from the Word of God. Hey, did you know that the Bible has over 500 stories in it? Yeah, and they're the greatest stories in the world. Did you know that all cultures everywhere love stories? People for centuries have been passing on stories from generation to generation to generation, and there are no stories like the stories that God has given us in the Bible. And they all come together as a beautiful mosaic to communicate the good news that God has sent his son Jesus into this world to save the world from their sins. All of the stories in some way relate to that one message of salvation in Jesus Christ. They all talk about Jesus in a way. They all relate to Jesus Christ. They all point to Jesus Christ or reflect on Jesus Christ. And so you know what? Stories are meant to be told. They're not meant only to be studied or talked about. So I try to make it a practice to learn as many of those stories as I can and be ready to share them with people at a moment's notice. And God has given me an opportunity to take this all over the world and train leaders, even people that have very little background in Christianity, to learn a lot of Bible by just taking the stories of the scriptures and learning them by heart. Using your own words, not changing them, not adding to them, not subtracting from them, but not memorizing the text word for word, just relating the story as it is told in the Bible, naturally, using your own words. And so, today, we told a story to the children. Story of the blind beggar found in Luke chapter 18 at the end of the chapter. Well, the story after that one is the one that I want to share with you right now. The story, the famous story of Zacchaeus. You see, those two stories go together. Because Jesus came, the Bible says, the book of Luke says, to seek and to save that which is lost. And here we have two people that Jesus came to seek and save. A blind beggar who is oppressed by the people, rejected, and outcast, and a very well-known, notorious ruler who was the oppressor. And Jesus came for both of them. He came to save the oppressed and the oppressor equal. So, this is a beautiful couple of stories to share and to learn and to share with the world that Jesus is Savior. So we're going to share that story today, and I want you to do something. The children learned a story today, and if you're a parent, take those children, gather them around, and have them tell you the story they learned today. And you also learn the story. In fact, I encourage you to learn both of these stories. They're found in Luke, the end of chapter 18, starting at verse 35 to 43, followed by Luke 19, 1 to 10, which is the story of Zacchaeus that I'd like to share with you right now. Are you ready? Here's the story, a true story from God's Word. Jesus was entering Jericho, and he passed through Jericho. And there was a man there called Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector, and he was rich. Now, this Zacchaeus wanted to meet Jesus who was coming by. But he couldn't because he was really a small man, and he couldn't see beyond the crowds. And so he ran ahead of the crowds, and he climbed up a sycamore tree where he waited for Jesus to pass by. Well, when Jesus came up and came to the sycamore tree, Jesus stopped. He looked up, and he called out, "Zacchaeus, hurry up and come on down. I must come to your house today." Zacchaeus was filled with joy. He hurried up down that tree, and he welcomed Jesus into his home. Well, there were some people there that murmured at this, and they said, "How is it that he would go and be a guest in the house of a sinner?" Hearing this, Zacchaeus stood up. And Zacchaeus said, "Lord, look, I will give half of all my riches to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody, I'll pay them back four times more what I owe them." So Jesus said, "Today, salvation has come to this man's house, for this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." Well, that's the story. And it's a powerful story that is very relevant today for many reasons. We're going to see why. First, I want to give you an outline. So take a look at your Bible. Open it up to Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. And I want to give an outline of the story to help us keep focused. We're going to divide the story in the following manner. Verse 1 is an introduction. Jesus came to Jericho. So write that down if you're taking notes. Jesus came to Jericho, introduction, verse 1. But then from verses 2 to 5, Jesus and Zach meet, we're going to write. Jesus and Zach meet. Call him Zach. It's easier to spell. Jesus and Zach meet. They meet each other. That's verses 2 to 5. The next section will be Jesus and Zach eat. How about that? We know that they must have eaten together. Jesus went to his house and they must have had a meal. So, Jesus and Zach meet, verses 2 to 5. Jesus and Zach eat, verses 6 to 9. So we have the introduction. Jesus and Zach meet, Jesus and Zach eat. And now finally, verse 10 is the conclusion where Jesus tells why he came. Jesus came, you can write this, Jesus came to seek and save the lost. So you got the outline? There it is. Introduction, Jesus and Zach meet, Jesus and Zach eat, and the conclusion, Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. Now here's what we're going to do. In each of these sections, I'm going to be asking a question for you personally as we think about this story. So let's be mindful and be waiting for that question. So, Jesus comes to Jericho. The text says it this way. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. Very interesting. He was passing through. In other words, he didn't stop. And that's important. Now, I've had a lot of experience with in the Middle East. And in the Middle East, hospitality is everything. And you would never come to a town like Jericho if you're a famous person, and you would never just pass through and not stay at someone's house and have a banquet. This happens to me all the time. I go somewhere, I've got to stay at someone's house, I've got to eat with them, I've got to sleep there. If not, they become angry. So we have to know that going into this story, that the mood was hostile. That Jesus had gone through Jericho, but he didn't stay. He did two things when he was there. He healed the blind beggar. You see that in chapter 18. And then he also stopped and stayed at the house of the chief tax collector of the village. Jesus said that he came to seek and save the lost. You see, he was very intentional in what he was doing. In fact, this road that Jesus was on started way back in chapter 9. If you want to turn in your Bible to chapter 9, verse 51, you'll see the beginning of this walk on this road to Jerusalem. Jesus was on his way to die on the cross because he was on a mission to die on the cross to bring salvation to the blind beggar and to Zacchaeus and to many others who would come to him and believe in him. So in chapter 9, verse 51, you read, "As the time approached for him," that is Jesus, "to be taken up to heaven, Jesus," here it is, "resolutely set out for Jerusalem." He was resolute because he was on a mission. And so he was very purposeful in what he did. But he came to Jericho, and he passed through on his mission. And so the people knew about him. but they really didn't get to know him. I have a question. So here's the question. Write this down. Question number one. How well do you know Jesus? Have you met him? I mean, personally. Do you know about him, or do you really know him? How would you answer that? Do you know about this Jesus? Does he pass in and out of your life? Or have you met him? That's a great question for us to ask and to answer. I read a book called Basic Christianity once that talked about the core of Christianity. What is it? At its very core, what does it mean to be a Christian? And what sets apart Christianity, the Christian faith, from all other religions? And he talks about four C's. You know, just like this church has three C's, Christ Community Church. Well, there are four C's I want you to consider. The first is this. Christianity, the Christian faith, is not a mere, here's the word, creed. It's not a mere creed. It's not just a mere list of beliefs. Do you believe in God? Yes. Do you believe in Jesus? Yes. Do you believe in that Jesus died on the cross? Yes. Well, you know what? The devil also believes those things. That doesn't make you a Christian just by having intellectual assent that these things are true. That doesn't make a person a Christian. All religions have their beliefs. It's good to have them. We have to have them. They're necessary, but they're not essential. There's something more. The second C is conduct. Christianity is not merely good conduct or good behavior. There are atheists, after all, you know. Atheists that are very moral people. So at the core of being a Christian is not just moral behavior or good conduct. So it's not a mere creed. It's not merely good conduct. And it's not merely ceremonies, would be the third C. Rituals and ceremonies and traditions. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian, for example. Wearing the right clothes doesn't make you a Christian. All of the rituals and traditions that are good, at the core of Christianity is something much more than just creeds, good conduct, and rituals. All religions have those three things. They're good, they're necessary, but they're not essential. The essential thing for a Christian is this. One more C. Christ. We must have Christ in a personal relationship with him. You see, there's a big, big difference between knowing about Jesus and knowing Jesus personally. Have you met him? Well, Zacchaeus wanted to meet Jesus. He desperately wanted. I don't know why, but there was something about Jesus that attracted him, that gave him a desperation to get to know Jesus. And we see that in the story in a beautiful way. So let's move on to the next section. Jesus and Zac meet. How did they meet? Zacchaeus was surely seeking to meet Jesus, but he didn't know that Jesus was seeking Zacchaeus. In fact, Jesus was much more determined to meet Zacchaeus than Zacchaeus was even to meet Jesus. Jesus came to Jerusalem to seek and save the lost. He was going to the cross for people like Zacchaeus. And Jesus came up to Zacchaeus. Jesus initiated the relationship. Jesus stopped and saw him, probably hiding in the tree from all the crowds that hated him because he was the chief tax collector. He was robbing the people, working for the Romans. By the way, that's why this story can be so relevant today, because today we know and we feel deeply for oppressed peoples around the world that suffer at the hands of rich, powerful rulers who oppress them. I have a good friend in Venezuela, good friends, Christian people, that are suffering greatly at the hands of a corrupt government. Zacchaeus was one of these corrupt people. But for some reason, he saw something in Jesus For some reason, he must have felt empty because riches and power don't fill something deep within us that we need, that he saw Jesus could give and fill. But both Jesus and Zacchaeus were determined to meet one another, but Jesus more so. As we read it a few minutes ago, Jesus was resolutely moving, walking towards Jerusalem to die on the cross with his purpose, because he came to seek and to save lost people like the blind beggar, but also like Zacchaeus. Jesus comes for the oppressed, but he comes for the oppressors too. In fact, tomorrow I'm going to be, I have the wonderful privilege of speaking to refugees, the Kurds, and people from Iran and Iraq and Syria. And on a Zoom call, we're going to have church. And lo and behold, I'm going to tell them this story, because they suffer under oppression. And they need to know that God cares about them, but that he also cares about those who oppress them. What about that? But what I was saying was, Jesus was resolutely determined to meet Zacchaeus and bring salvation to him. So I have a question for you. Question number two. Write it down. Are you ready? How desperate are you, like Zacchaeus, how desperate are you to meet Jesus? Or maybe you say you already know him. Then how desperate are you to know him more? What is your level of zeal to know Jesus, to really know him? If you were to give a number from 1 to 10, 0 being no zeal at all, 10 being you're really zealous like Zacchaeus, where would you stand? What is the level of your zeal, your determination, your desperation to meet Christ? Well, you know something? There's good news. The good news is this. God is much, much more interested in knowing you than you are of him. I've had people, and you have too, that say, and I've done it myself, you know, I know I should go to church. I know I should read the Bible, and I do, but not as much as I'd like. I don't honestly seek Jesus like I really should. The good news is that none of us can say that we're as determined to know Jesus as we should be. But God is a seeker. He's been seeking us since the beginning in the Garden of Eden. For the very first question in the Bible is, where are you, Adam? And he's been seeking ever since. God is a seeker too, you know. And he is much more interested in you than you'll ever be in him, ever. Keep that in mind and be of good courage. But still, it's good to ask the question, how desperate are you to know him, to meet him? Have you met him? And how desperate are you to know him more? Jesus and Zacchaeus met each other. Now, let's talk about Jesus and Zacchaeus eat together. Verses 6 to 9. Zacchaeus welcomed Jesus into his home, happily. But Jesus had already invited himself to Zacchaeus' house. So you have to ask the question, why did Jesus invite himself? Why didn't he wait for Zacchaeus to invite him? It seems rather impolite to us today to invite yourself over to someone's house. Well, think about this, Zacchaeus. Would a man like Zacchaeus, sinner that he was, unpopular that he was, unworthy as he was, would he ever even consider asking someone like Jesus to come to his house? Well, of course not. And Jesus knows that. He knows that about you, that you're not worthy either. And Jesus, just like he did with Zacchaeus, is today, in fact, this very moment, inviting himself into your house to be with you, to know you. He's determined, resolutely fixed with that goal because he's so interested in your life. Believe that. It's true. How desperate are you to meet him? He's more desperate. Jesus invites himself into your life as he did with Zacchaeus. But in the story, when Jesus went to be at his house, the people murmured. Naturally, because they wanted justice for the poor. That's not so bad. They hated Zacchaeus because he was a thief. They hated him. They wanted to get rid of him. So their demand to Jesus would be, condemn him. Have nothing to do with him. And that's natural for us today, right? I think of those who are oppressing the Kurds. I think of countries where people are suffering, like Venezuela and Iraq and Syria. And you want to rid those people of their tyrants, their oppressors. But Jesus had a better way. Jesus understood that if he replaced Zacchaeus, what happens? Well, we've seen it today. You replace one tyrant only to find him replaced by another. An equally ruthless tyrant comes along and the people continue suffering. Knowing that, the better way is Jesus' way. Change the man's heart. And that's what's so powerful about this story. Jesus alone can produce inner change in your life. And that's what Jesus did. Merely inviting himself over melted Zacchaeus' heart. And when Zacchaeus heard the murmuring of the people because Jesus was at his house, he wasn't going to stand for that kind of scandal. He was going to stand and protect the honor of Jesus Christ. And so he stood up and he said, I give half of all my riches to the poor, Jesus. I'll have no scandal be on your life. And if I've cheated people, I'll pay them back. Four times more. He was so zealous. He was zealous for the honor of Jesus. And so I have a third question. Mark it down. Question number three. How desperate are you that your life give honor to Jesus? How desperate are you to honor Jesus with your life? That's question number three. What would you do that Jesus would be exalted, that he'd be lifted up, that he'd be honored in this world because of your life? What needs to be done? What is your level of zeal? Zacchaeus kind of zeal. Well, once again, we have good news, friend. Because your level of zeal might not be that high. Jesus is determined to honor you, and his kindness can melt your heart. You see, just as Zacchaeus welcomed Jesus with gladness, Jesus welcomed Zacchaeus and called him a son of Abraham. Just as Zacchaeus stood up to protect the honor of Jesus and make sure Jesus is honored, Jesus too honored Zacchaeus. When Jesus invited himself today into his house, today was the day of salvation for Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus turned from a sinner to a son of Abraham, from a thief who hoarded wealth to a liberated, generous, joyful giver, to a man who oppressed, to a man who liberated and brought justice and vindication for those who had been cheated and those who were poor. Only Jesus can do something like that, and he can do it in your life. So what is the conclusion? Jesus says, I came to seek and to save people like you and me who are lost. You can be lost, you know, whether you're poor and blind and an outcast, or whether you're rich and powerful but empty. Jesus cares about you. And right now, he calls your name. He stops and he sees you. And he invites himself into your home, into your life. He says, come on down. I'm coming to your house. So the fourth question, mark it down, is this. Question number four. How has Jesus impacted your life? Has salvation come to your house? Has your heart been melted that you want to honor with Christ with all your heart and soul? How has he impacted you? There's good news. Jesus wants to bring salvation. Full assurance of salvation to you today is possible. You may not know that. Jesus said it clearly. He said, whoever hears my voice, Jesus said, and believes in the one that sent me, has eternal life. 100% assurance of eternal life after you die. You will not be condemned, Jesus says. You will pass from death to life. That's Jesus' promise to you. This is not me talking. This is Jesus talking. Do you believe? The book of Isaiah says it this way, an old prophet, 700 plus years before Jesus was even born, wrote it this way. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him. And to our God, for he will freely pardon. Jesus is talking to you right now. Welcome him gladly. Come on down. Invite him into your life and share him with others. May God bless you. Go in peace.